Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You may be seated. God bless you. Father, we thank you again for the privilege to receive of your Spirit. We ask that you cause our spirits to receive your word with meekness. And we ask that you bring us understanding through the light of your word. And let there be empowerment in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God. This morning, our time is very short. And so I'll just strike a few points and we give God praise for God's servant. Again, I want to honor Mama. Thank you for all your support. And of course, our senior pastors that are here, Pastor Barnabas and Pastor Edwin, thank you so much. It's truly an honor to see you again. Glory to God. And so we started from somewhere in the first service. I'll just build on it very quickly. Maybe I do a 5 minutes recap for those who are joining us in the second service. We read from Numbers chapter 12, and I was explaining a story of what happened between Moses, Miriam, and Aaron. Moses took an Ethiopian woman for a wife, and Miriam, Aaron frowned at it, and God was offended, surprisingly, not with Moses, but with Miriam and Aaron. And I said that scripture brings the significance of honor, the place of honor, and the value God places on the subject of honor. There's no justification for what Moses did, but when you try to correct a spiritual error by violating another ordinance, God will not be there. And so it's important for us to understand the importance of honor before the Lord. And I said, for us to understand this subject in depth, we need to see honor from three perspectives. The first, I said, honor is a virtue. Honor is an essential part of your being. And so a man can only honor if himself is honorable. If you don't have honor in you, you cannot give out honor. And so the subject of honor is not primarily about appreciating, respecting, or reverencing someone else. The subject of honor begins with the quality of your spirit. If there is no honor in you, you cannot honor another. The second thing we looked at was the fact that honor is a revelation of your character. And your character is a summation of your process and your training. And so when you find people who cannot honor, it reveals the defect in their process of training. And so when a man is well trained and well cultured, it becomes natural for him to honor. And then thirdly, we said honor is a law in the spirit. It's not just a law because it is part of the Ten Commandments to honor the Lord, to honor your father. No,
It's a law because many spiritual possibilities are communicated only when the place of honor is respected. You cannot receive from God, you cannot receive from a man except as you honor them sincerely from your heart. The Bible said in Hebrews 7:7, it said, without every contradiction, it said, the less is blessed of the better. And so until you exhort a being, nothing moves from that being to you. So it's a law in the spirit. And so honor is very essential. It's our nature. It reveals our character. And it's also a law that helps us to receive spiritual possibilities. We also looked at the categories of people to honor. And we said the first person to honor is God himself. In fact, the Bible speaking in Psalm 29 verse 2, it says to give praise unto the Lord. It says give to him the honor that is due him. So God deserves honor. He is a being of honor. And we are commanded to honor the Lord. Unfortunately, this is a generation where people no longer have reverence for God. No wonder the impact and the impute of God in the lives of people is diminishing by the day. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 30, it said, him that honor me, I will honor. And it said, him that despises me shall be lightly esteemed. Most of the things we do today in our world is largely religious. When you find people praying, they pray because they are told prayer is important, and they pray because they see others praying. You really don't see honor from the hearts of people when they are talking to God. You can't approach a God that you believe will answer all your prayers. You cannot approach a God that you believe your future is in his hands and you do it carelessly. In fact, some of us honor our leaders much more than we honor God. Tell everybody here today, you see the president tomorrow. You'll be shocked that all his thoughts, all his actions, everything about him will be directed towards that meeting tomorrow. His expectation level will increase. He will even make a new dress to appear before the president. He will prepare the words he will speak. He will prepare the actions. Everything about his comportment and his demeanor will be practiced and rehearsed before he sees the president, because he sees the president as a being of power. But when people come to God, they come very casual, relaxed, as though nothing important is happening. Sometimes you even have to persuade them to come. If I'm going to see the president tomorrow and I say, who wants to follow? Everybody will jump at it. I want to follow. It doesn't matter whether you like him or not. President, I'm going there. But when you say, I'm going to church, would you like to come? Say, Kai, I came back late from work. Please, let me rest. Because there's no honor. We don't come to God with expectation. We don't come to God with excitement. We don't come to God with reverence, because we have not honored him. And so the first one to honor is God himself. Now, the second persons to honor are those in authority. And so there's nothing wrong in honoring your leaders. In fact, I categorized it when I was teaching in the morning into three. Civic or governmental or political leaders should be honored. And then spiritual leaders should be honored. And then biological authorities over us should be honored. This is what the Bible teaches. In 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 17, the Bible says, honor all men, fear God, love the brotherhood, and honor the king. So you have to honor the king. You cannot dishonor those who are in authority just because you don't like them. You may not like them, but if they have come to authority, it becomes your responsibility to honor them. The Bible did not just teach us to honor them. We are even mandated to pray for them. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1, it says, I exhort all men to lift up holy hands and to pray. And to pray. If you don't honor and pray for them, you can't live a peaceable life. There will be crisis in your life. If you fight the president today because you don't like him, bro, hope you know that the subsidy alone is speaking some language. So you just have to pray for him to think well and to act well, because it's for your own good. If you don't honor them, if you don't pray for them, things will go very difficult for you. So the Bible admonishes we honor our leaders and we pray for them. Secondly, we are admonished of scriptures to honor and pray for our parents, to love our parents. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 2, the Bible says to honor your father and your mother. It said it is the first commandment with a promise. It shows you how important it is to God. Many persons in our world today, you see the level of honor they give to those they serve in the office. The level of honor they even give to their pastors, which is beautiful, and I'll talk about it. But they treat their parents with disdain. They literally despise their parents. When your boss at work calls you, you rush there with urgency. You are talking to them. Some even go on their knees, show a lot of respect. But when they come home, the moment your father makes a remark that you don't like, you hit at him with a lot of aggression. You hit at him with a lot of rebuke. It shows that what you are doing in church and at work is hypocrisy. Because if there is honor in your life, you will translate it to every authority over you. Your parents being the chief amongst these authorities. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 13 verse 11 and 20. See what the Bible says. Can we project it quickly? It speaks about a generation. And I believe this is the generation. It said, Proverbs 30 verse 11. I beg your pardon. It speaks of a generation, and I believe it's this generation is talking about. It said, there's a generation that curseth her father and does not bless her mother. In verse 12, it said, that generation sees itself pure, yet it has not removed the filth from itself. This is the generation where we are. It is normal for people to attack elders, insult fathers, insult mothers, and they give justification because they claim they are wrong. Because they see everything to be right in their own eyes. This is a cursed generation. This is why people are having high blood pressure at the age of 20. This is why people are struggling and you can't find favor amongst young people. They are fasting, they are praying, they are making first class, but their life is difficult. Because when you curse the fathers, you don't bless the mothers, things become difficult for you. You may go to Harvard and come back and still be frustrated. You find young people today dying strangely because the covering that they should enjoy from their parents is not there. He said, if you are in a strange land, he said, the prayers of your mother will be a covering over you. But that is a mother you honor, not a mother you despise, not a mother you insult. You don't know why people go through strange circumstances today. It's because they have violated the ordinances of God. And this is one of the ordinances our generation is violating. You need to see the way young ladies relate with their mothers. They literally quarrel them. There are certain mothers that are even afraid of talking to their children. So they try to massage their ego before they talk to them. My dear, is it okay for mom? When they turn, the mother will just hold her peace. And they come out and they are hoping all will be well. My dear, all will not be well. Because this is an ordinance. You must honor your father. You must honor your mother. And I'll teach you how to give honor. So you know what we are talking about here. It's not just respect. It's deeper than that. Number three, the Bible admonishes we honor our spiritual authorities. Go to the internet today. There's an attack on respect and honor for pastors. The moment you mention a man of God, people begin to hit at you so hard. Everybody wants to, and we don't know what the devil is doing. You know, people don't have spiritual intelligence. This is a generation that no longer has understanding of how spiritual things work. See, spiritual authorities are a blessing. It has been there from time immemorial. It is God that instituted it. If spiritual authorities are removed from this world today, this world will crash. The sanity of society is tied to the values that these spiritual institutions bring. People assume today that church is not relevant. Pastors are not important. The day the church leaves the earth will end. The world will finish. We are the salt of the earth. And the authorities God have instituted, they bring sanity to society. The things you learn from church, you will not learn it from anywhere. No institution is certified to bring it to you. And what you receive from church is not just information, it's grace. It's dimensions of God. Mercy, power, healing, miracles, signs, divine intervention. There's no university in the world that can provoke divine intervention. And so when you are fighting spiritual authorities, you are trying to cut yourself off God's supply. The devil knows that the church and the authorities in the house of God, they are the conduit through which God's possibilities are transferred to a generation. And he knows when you dishonor them, you cut off that supply from a generation. So it's like shooting yourself in the leg, but people are not aware. And then over and above that, the scriptures reveal to us that on the judgment day, we will not speak for ourselves alone. He said the authorities God have instituted will speak for us. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, the Bible says to subject and submit yourself to the authorities that God has placed over you. It said, for when they give account for you, it said they should do it with joy. So every spiritual authority that God gives to you as a covering is your advantage, not only in time, but in eternity. Because when you come before God, he will not only ask you to give account for your own life. The Bible says the authorities God places over you, he said they will give account for you. And he said when you submit yourself to them, it's for your own benefit. Because when they speak of you to God, they will say it with joy. And so spiritual authorities and their operation transcends time. Your pastor that you submit to, your prophet that you submit to, he will have a stake over your state at the end of time. This is what Hebrews 13 verse 17 said. And the devil knows this. And so the devil wants to cut people off connection with spiritual authority. So that apart from the fact that they are disadvantaged in time, even in eternity, they will not have that necessary buffer that God gives for their own advantage. And so scriptures teaches that we honor spiritual authorities. And finally, I said to honor yourself. You honor yourself. There are many who dishonor themselves. There are many who undermine themselves. Psalm 49 verse 20, the Bible said, a man in honor that knoweth not. He said, it's like the beast of the field that perishes. You were created in the image and in the likeness of God. And so you've got to treat yourself like a person of honor. Many persons, the last person they think of deserves honor is themselves. They are going out of their house. They just throw their leg into anything they see, throw anything they see on their body, and they jump out. They are talking in public. There's no comportment. You just find their life haphazard and scattered and disoriented. And they are expecting that anything noble will happen to them. No, it won't happen to you. You are the one to prepare your environment for what you want to receive. Our elder said, it's how you dress your bed, you lie on it. There should be some gravity in your communication. There should be some gravity in the way you dress. There should be some gravity in the way you communicate to others, in the way you relate to others. Don't just be that person that is all over the place and everybody considers a nuisance. Respect yourself. There is something about you. Preserve it, refine it. It will determine the end of your life. Because if you don't honor yourself, the Bible said what will happen to you is to perish. The man in honor that knoweth not is like the beast that perishes. Why is honor so important? I'll give you 5 reasons quickly. Number one, honor will shield you from the corruption of this age. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, from verse 1 to 4, we see that one of the major characteristics of a generation that will perish at the end time is a dishonorable generation. A generation that has no honor. The Bible calls them boasters, covetous people. They have no regard for parents, no respect for authority. He said that's the generation that will emerge in the last day. So if you want to find a people that are under the influence of the spirit of the last day, one of the signs you see is dishonor. And so when a man is dishonorable, he's under the power of the Antichrist. He may not know it, but that is what the Bible says. In the last days, perilous times shall come. And this is the characteristic of the people that will be under the influence of that spirit. Ephesians 2 verse 2, the Bible said something. It said, these ones that are disobedient and dishonorable, it said they are under the power of the prince of the air. So if you want to shield yourself from the effect and the impact of the spirit of the last day, bring yourself under honor. Because that's one of the ways you will cut off from his influence. And you know what the devil does? John 10:10, he said, the devil cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So if you allow the spirit of the age to overtake you, don't be surprised when destruction comes. Don't be surprised when death comes, because that's what the devil has to offer. And so if you want to be shielded, you must make sure, amongst other things, honor must be in your quiver. Number two, why must we honor? Honor is a system of transference of virtue, of graces, of dimensions, and of inheritances. In Hebrews 7:7, he said, without any contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. The quickest way to receive from a man is to honor him. The quickest way to receive from God is to honor him. It's not religion, it's not rituals. If you honor a man, or if you honor God genuinely, even when you are not asking, things will flow in your direction. Because that honor has created a gradient. And the gradient itself has the power to pull from the one that you have honored. I read for them in the morning from Genesis 27, from verse 1 to 4. When Isaac wanted to bless his son, he could have said anything. You are blessed, prosper, increase. But he knew that empty words don't bless. Blessing is tied to the soul. And it takes honor to open the soul. And so he said, take your weapons. Go to the field. Get me a savory venison, a savory meat, so that I eat and my soul will bless you. And so the blessing and the blessings, blessedness that comes upon people is their ability to connect to the souls of the custodians who have those blessings. And the way you connect to the soul of a custodian is when you honor that person. Jacob, Isaac showed Jacob that principle. And the moment he did it, instantly his life changed. Imagine the words the man spoke. I bless you with corn and wine. Are you a farmer? The blessing has no regard for what you do. Anything you do will work. And so if you want your life to work, connect to the blessing. And the key to connecting to the blessing, amongst other things, is honor. Number three, why must we honor? Honor provokes multiplication. See, there is a mystery about this thing. And that's why the devil is attacking it. In Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, it says, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruit of all your increase. He didn't say God will do anything. He said then, immediately, as you have honored God, he said, your bands will break forth. What did God say? What did God do? Nothing. The moment you honor, every force in the universe begins to work in your favor. Even if God have not said anything, things will begin to happen in your favor. Because honor triggers multiplication. And why is it so? It is so because your faith is tied to honor. You cannot believe in a person or in a God you don't honor. In Matthew 13, 57 and 58, the Bible said Jesus went to his own country. And he said he could not do any mighty works there because of their unbelief. But what did he describe to their unbelief? Is their dishonor for him. They treated him like a carpenter. Is this not the man we know? We know you now. You are a carpenter. Are you not the son of Joseph? Are you not the son of Mary? Are these not your brothers? We know them. The moment they dishonored him, their faith was deactivated. So the reason honor provokes multiplication is because your faith is tied to honor. If you honor, your faith is activated. If you dishonor, your faith is immobilized. Do you see why you can come to a church for 5 years and not be blessed? Because you either dishonor the man or you dishonor the system. They tell you, sit here. You say, no, I don't want to sit there. I want to sit here. If you like, feel fire on your head. You have dishonored the system. And because you have dishonored the system, the structure will guide you out of the blessing. That's how these things work. People don't know why they are not being blessed. They can lay hands on you, pour 2 bottles of oil on your head, go and take a bath. What came on you is oil, not blessing. I'm telling you, your faith is tied to your honor. And when your faith begins to work, multiplication becomes natural. Why do we honor? Because honor brings us honor. If you don't honor, you can never be honored. He said, if you honor me, I will honor you. If you despise me, you shall be lightly esteemed. Many people are using manipulation to gain honor. And you know, we are in the social media age. You go and snap with somebody, put the picture online, and you stand as if you are friends. You are joking. You are joking. See what people do now. People they should submit to, they stand with them, put hand on their shoulder, and put online. Imagine I come now, and I'm snapping with Pastor Uche, and then I stand and hold him, and then I upload it on my page. So when you see me, you now say, this is his friend. So they parley together. That's a joke. It will not attract honor. It will not attract any honor. The best thing you have is likes. And likes will not change your life. What you need is favor that commands wealth. What you need is favor that commands the allegiance of kings. What you need is favor. And likes does not bring favor. I'm telling you what our generation do. They will go and stand somewhere that looks honorable. Snap a selfie and upload. If you like, snap in a first class. Put up there. It will not change your story. Because what commands a change is a mystery. It's a mystery. And this is what makes it happen. Every system, every authority you begin to honor, that authority begins to draw you up. It draws you up. It draws you up. You don't need a picture. You can honor that authority in secret. In public, the authority will draw you up. So what will make you stand equal with an authority is not a picture you took, it's the honor you give. If I honor Pastor Uche today, where he stands, I will start standing there, like I'm standing here now. I don't need, there's no picture that can bring me here. It's honor that can bring me here. Because honor will draw you. When you honor God, God will pull you to his realm. When you honor a man in authority, that honor will pull you there. So when you go to a place, the man may not be there, but the honor will carry follow you there. And so you can walk to a place without introducing yourself. They say, come, sit here. You know why? They are seeing you in the order of the one you have honored. Because you don't need to show them a picture, but the honor becomes an ambience around you. The honor becomes an aura around you. So the treatment they should have given that man, if he were there, they start giving you that treatment. And then you are wondering, what did I do? You honored. Nothing shifts you like honor. I beg you, don't undermine honor. And don't allow this godless generation teach you dishonor. It will kill you. It will kill you. When I started ministry, so many warfares in my home. People were dying, frustrations, near success syndrome. Nobody was amounting to anything. And I prayed and fasted. Prayed and fasted. There was a time I was fasting every day, 6 to 6 for 5 years. And when God wanted to help me, one of the secrets God told me, he started pointing to men who carried graces. He said, honor them. Honor them. I will see some people sometimes in situations where I don't have anything, the Holy Ghost will tell me, empty everything you have and give. On the road, I will kneel down and give it like a madman. Suddenly, realities began to overlap. Realities began to overlap. The doors that I couldn't open, people began to call me from that door to come. I started going from one level to another level. From one level, not because of the fasting, but because of the secret God taught me. And then the people that I was honoring, after a while, I started standing where they were standing. After a while, the things that was happening to them began to happen to me. There was a time I saw a shift, a terrible shift I couldn't believe. I went to preach somewhere and they gave me 3,000 naira for honorarium. The cab I chartered to go for this meeting alone was more than 3,000. And then in that same season, God entered the situation. Somebody heard the message and called me and gave me 500,000. I said, what is going on here? He said, no, I'm about to shift you. I'm showing you where you are versus where I'm taking you. This is your qualification. But something will come upon you now that people will start seeing you beyond you. And so when they respond to you, They are not considering your age. They are not considering your pedigree. They are not even considering your anointing. They don't just know why they look at you and suddenly you look like Bishop Oedeko. They don't know why they look at you and suddenly you look like Poade Farasi. They don't know why they look at you and suddenly you look like Dr. Paul Enenche. And what they should have done for Dr. Paul Enenche, they start doing for you. And you are wondering, when did I come here? You entered there through honor. The moment you honor them, what follows them starts following you. This is a mystery. This is why the Bible admonishes that we must honor. Because it will shorten our process, our wilderness journey. The places you should have gone in 20 years, you can go in 1 year if you short circuit it through honor. There are many young people, they think ministry is about anointing. You will preach a very intelligent message. People will hear it and say, wow, this boy is intelligent. This boy is intelligent. They will now say, God is raising people now. Can you imagine? And they will forget and go. But they will hear somebody else and the spirit will appear. They can't sleep and they look for you and send you a gift. They don't know why they are doing it. You are clothed. You are wearing a coat of many colors. It's a secret. It's a secret. It's a secret. I wanted to teach on the office of a pastor. God told me teach honor. Because the reason some of them can't receive from their pastors is because they don't know what honor is. So even if you teach them about the office of a pastor, it will be a theological document. But if you teach them what honor is, suddenly they will start relating with their pastors differently. Hope you know, even today that we are saying it's pastors appreciate on Sunday, somebody is looking at it and say, Kai, why are we wasting time? Can't we come to church again and worship God? When you worship him, when you honor him, it's not him you are looking at. It's the grace of God on his life. It's the one he represents. Because God is not going to jump down and say, Martha, you are blessed. If God wants to say you are blessed, he will use his voice. God is not going to jump down and say, tomorrow there will be a lifting. It is his voice he will use. And so it's not a waste of time to honor the people that represents God. It will teach you how you ought to live your life. That's what honor does. Honor lifts you. Honor promotes you. Honor adds speed to your life. And then you start shifting from one level to another level. From one level to another level. And you see your life becoming a stream of the miraculous. How do you honor? Quickly. Number one, through reverence. You honor through reverence. 1 Samuel 2:30. Him that reverences me will I honor. Him that despises me shall be lightly esteemed. When you honor a man, he shows through the respect and the reverence you give to him. It will affect the way you greet him. It will affect the way you talk to him. It will affect the way you respond to him, even when you are offended. In fact, your reverence is revealed more when you are offended. You know what this person said is not how he should say it, but you hold your peace and come back later and explain yourself. It's a sign that you have honor. But many people think they have honor, they don't. What they are doing, they are just having interaction. It's just fellowship. The day they are offended, that's the day you know they have no honor. Because it's in offense, you show the degree of your respect. Somebody talks to you, you should have talked back. You hold your peace and you come later. You say, sir, that thing, maybe you misunderstood me. This and this and this and this is what happened. He will look at, okay, that's fine. He may not even apologize. You just explained yourself and you go. That's honor. When you speak about that person, whether he's present or absent, you will say it with respect. You cannot say you honor somebody and you are behind the person gossiping him. You cannot say you honor somebody and you are behind the person angry and giving a rebuter for what he said when you were in his presence. When you honor people, it shows through reverence. Is that reverence God sees? Many people think the blessings they receive from service is when the service is hot and pastor is on fire. In the name of Jesus, they jump up and say amen. That's not what God sees to bless you. That one is touching your emotion, but God is not in the emotional realm. When God is blessing you, God is seeing the weight of your reverence to your pastor. That is the conduit pipe that determines the bandwidth of connection. And so if you like don't respect or show reverence to him, even if the fire is hot and people are being burnt, nothing with traffic, because the channel, the conduit is too narrow. God, we want to, but it can't flow. And so when you reverence him, you may even be outside when he said, God is shifting people this week. It will meet you outside. I'm not saying stay outside in church, but I'm telling you that when 70 elders are called, those who are not there can still be blessed. Reverence is lacking in our world today. Some of us are too educated. Education is our burden. You just came back from Harvard, and so now you have learned a new culture. You see everybody. Hello, how you doing? You are blessed. Well done. Oh, I'm not talking Africa. See, the devil is corrupting the Western world, and even they don't know it. It's after many years they will discover that heritage has eroded, and they will go back. They will become worse than they were 100 years ago. Why do you think suddenly they can't define marriage anymore? Marriage that our children in primary school can define. They don't know what marriage is again, because they have become too intelligent to understand truth. So our children now can teach professors in America what marriage is. Because when you don't have values for God's ordinances, you start traveling backward. When you don't have value for God's ordinances, you start traveling backward. You can have 3 PhDs. Don't copy nonsense. You went to London and came back. And so because you came back from London, it's your mother that washes plate now. It has to be turn by turn. Welcome. By the time you are 40, you will discover you have gone to heaven. They will tell you the remaining part of your age, they gave it to somebody else who is reasonable. What we call civilization is actually backwardness. When you go there, teach them values. Don't let them corrupt your values. When you travel there, teach them the ordinances of God. Don't let them corrupt you. You honor God. Honor your father and your mother. Honor your spiritual authorities. That's what the Bible teaches. Praise the Lord. So the first way to show honor is through reverence. The second way to show honor is through giving. You can't claim you honor somebody without giving. It doesn't work that way. I will quote it again. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord, not with talk. Honor the Lord with your substance. You know why? Everybody you honor, you are affectionately disposed towards that person. Because honor works pari passu with love. You cannot honor and not love. And you cannot love and not give. So the way you verify the quality of honor is the gifts that follow it. It said to honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruit. That's why it added first fruit there. So you will know it's the first blessing you get. You present it. I'm giving you this because I acknowledge that although I'm working in a bank, you are my source. I'm giving you this because I acknowledge, although I have a company, but you are my source. And so take this first one as a sign of honor. But the gift in itself is a revelation of honor. I know most of you came for Pastor's Appreciation Sunday, but what you came to do is to clap. Let's celebrate, Pastor. Oh, we love you. Thank you for the eulogies. They are beautiful. But, sir, something must follow it. That's the sign of honor. I know they can pick this type on Facebook and say this is how they are manipulating people. They don't know God's ordinances. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 2:12, it said, we have not received the spirit of the world. We have received the spirit of God. So we know the things that are freely given to us by God. And in verse 14, it said, the carnal man receiveth not the things of the spirit of God, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. They think we are foolish, but when they get to heaven, they will understand who was wise. You look at what God has instituted, you call it foolishness. The Bible says a fool says in his heart, there's no God. You honor with substance. Number three, how do you honor? You honor through service. You can't honor a man or God or a system and not serve. Because everything you honor, you want to play your part for it to work. That's what motivates service. You look at yourself, I have this to offer. And so I'm delighted to offer it. And then you begin to offer your services because it's a sign of honor, genuine honor. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 21 and 22, Paul was speaking about Timothy. And he said, as a son honoreth his father. He says, so he has served me in the gospel of Jesus. As a son honoreth, serveth his father. So Paul was calling honor service. And so everywhere you find honor, honor must be followed with service. If there is no service, that honor is not genuine. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The fourth way to show honor is through obedience. You can't honor somebody whose law you don't keep. You can't honor someone whose ordinances you don't keep. Samuel was speaking to Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 and 23. You said, do you think God delights more in sacrifices and offerings than he delights in honoring the word of the Lord? He says, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rams. Jesus himself was teaching along these lines in Matthew 21, verse 28 to 31. He said, a father had two sons and he called them. He said to one, go and keep my vineyard. He said, I can't go. He said to another, go and keep my vineyard. He said, yes, Lord, I will go. He said, at the end of the day, the one that said, I will not go was the one who went. The one that said, I will, did not go. He said, which of them honored his father? And the people answered correctly. They said, the first one. So God is not moved by your words except as he sees your action. And the action that moves God is the actions of obedience. He said, if you love me, keep my commandment. And because we are representing God and his interest, what God creates as a standard is what we replicate. And so if you honor a man, you will keep his words. You will obey his words. Pastor calls you and says, please, we need to have this done. You say you honor pastor and you can't do it. You don't do it. At the end of the day, service is messed up. You are apologizing. That you knelt down to apologize and you wept does not mean you have honor. People don't know this. Please get the video ready. The guy doesn't get it ready. When pastor comes, he say, oh, pastor, I'm sorry. He kneels down and cries. That is high service. That's not honor. You are working at the generator house. They said they need to get fuel. You don't get fuel until service starts. And Jen goes off in the middle of service. Before pastor comes, you lie down. You say, forgive me. I'm sorry. I have sinned. When you finish quoting those cliches, wake up and become responsible. Honor is obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. That's how you give honor. You give honor through obedience. And finally, you give honor through genuine words of gratitude. Genuine words of gratitude. You cannot honor a man and you don't know how to appreciate him. Your words can bless the soul of a man even much more than the gifts you present to him. I can't come and give you a gift and insult you and you collect it. Because what you say to me is more important than the gift you give. And so when you honor people, you honor them through affectionate words. That's why the Bible will always admonish that we praise God. Psalm 29 verse 2 that I quoted, the way he says to honor God and to give him the praise due him is by talking to him. It's by appreciating him for what he has done. Like we saw richly demonstrated this morning. Pastor, we see that you are humble. We appreciate it. We see that you are simple. We appreciate it. We see the sacrifices you put in. We appreciate it. Those words, they do a lot to the soul. And that's why you honor a man. There are people today, give them a gift. They look at it and say, well done. They feel it's their right for you to give them. You went to the market. You took your time. Got a gift. Brought to somebody. Some won't even look at it and say, give him. You will never see that gift again. You will never. Because if you think you are important, the person who is honoring you is also important. Because it's reciprocal. But people are not taught honor. And that's why they shut door against themselves. Because when you say one word, you can never reclaim it back. It has gone forever and ever. And so you must be careful the way you speak, especially to those who are in honor. I can tell you the reason many have favor, favor that money cannot buy, is because they said the right word in season. And I can tell you the reason many are struggling today is because they didn't know what to say at the right time. You ask some people, they say, me, I say my mind. Well done. You will say your mind into a pit. After 20 years, when they tell you to say your mind again, you say, wait, let me edit my mind first. Naughtiness, arrogance, foolishness. I will say my mind. Which mind? A mind that is not renewed. You will say your way into a gutter. You will ask for forgiveness. Nobody will be there to hear. Because they don't know the place of words. You honor through words. Please, I beg you, don't let anything take honor out of your life. The virtue that comes to your life is dependent on the honor you have to present. The heritage you receive is dependent on the honor you have to give. The promotions you receive is dependent on the honor you have to give. Honor is too important. And you must watch out for factors that provoke dishonor. I'll list them. I won't preach. I won't talk about them. We are out of time. There are many factors that provoke dishonor. Number one is familiarity. I told you already, the reason the people could not honor Jesus was because they saw him as an ordinary carpenter. Don't get to that point where you become too familiar, because your life is dependent, can just be dependent on who or what you dishonor. And when you become familiar, virtue can no longer flow. Does it not shock you that the Bible said Jesus could not do mighty works? That means he tried, he couldn't. That is God himself. God tried, he couldn't, because they dishonored him. That's why you cannot allow familiarity steal the place of blessing, because honor is gone. The second thing that provokes dishonor is delusion and pride. Don't become too full of yourself until you don't recognize who you should submit to. Don't make friends with who should mentor you. Don't call equal who should father you. Don't wear shoes that you should clean. You will shut the door to your life. I'm telling you, people are deluded. They feel they are God. Nobody is important, sir. Some people are important. Even God himself sends men to men. People are important. Throw that nonsense cliche away that nobody is important. Jesus appeared to Paul in his glory. And Jesus told Paul, go to Damascus, you will be told what to do. How can a man meet Jesus and Jesus still sends him to another man? And this is not Jesus in human flesh. This is Jesus glorified. Met him on his throne. Saw, why persecutest thou me? Who are you, Lord? Without training, he knew. Because the glory he saw, only a Lord has it. And Lord told him, go to the city, you'll be told what to do. And Jesus and Paul goes to the city, and Paul is waiting, fasting for 3 days, blind. Jesus will go and meet Ananias and persuade him to go and help Paul. So Jesus can meet a man, and only a man can help that man. And Jesus will leave his glory and go and meet that man to persuade him to go and help that man. May you not kick a helper that Jesus has gone to beg to help you away out of pride. Imagine if Ananias showed up and Paul said, I need no man. He will be blind for a lifetime. For a lifetime, he will be blind. And Ananias was true to him and said, Brother Saul. Oh God. Brother Saul. The Jesus that appeared to you sent me. That's when you will know we are not the same. We are not equal. He was not where the encounter took place, but he came back to tell you the narrative of the encounter. The Jesus that met you on your way sent me here. You will now ask yourself, who are you? Where were you? He said, rise up. And scales fell off his eyes. He began to see, and a great apostolic ordination was born. Men are important. We are not all the same. Even if we are the same, not at all times or in every situation. Even the man who is your colleague, there are certain situations that is higher than you. Wait, bend down quickly. Because if he doesn't speak in that situation, you are equal, but you will suffer. Delusion and pride. 1 Peter 5:5 calls it foolishness. They are proud. They are proud and arrogant. Jesus said in Paul speaking in 1 Philippians 2:5, he said, "Don't do anything out 2:3. Don't do anything out of vainglory." He said, "Let us esteem ourselves more than ourselves. Be quick to esteem others." It's wisdom. The third thing that triggers dishonor is offense. In Matthew 11:2-6, John the Baptist that saw Jesus by prophecy now sent a message to him. "Are you the one to come, or do we expect another?" Jesus knew where the question was coming from. Jesus said, "Go and tell him, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear." And Jesus ended it and said, "Blessed is the man who is not offended in me." So the reason you are asking this question is not because you are burdened for God. It's because you are now offended. If you allow offense enter your heart, the man that should bless you, you will lock the door against that man. It's your life that will suffer. And finally, what triggers dishonor? It is hearing unverified information about people in authority. Most of the things they tell you about people is not true. They have issues with those people, and they know the only thing they can do to disconnect you from them is to lie to you. Don't be quick to pass conclusions over people because of what you heard, especially people who have been blessing you. You owe them that honor. At least verify for yourself. And if you are wise, you will pray for them, not to dishonor them. The man who is a blessing to you, you go back later and betray him, lie against him, and you are now attacking him for no just cause. You will attract reproach to yourself. Do you know there are many people who turn against their pastors because somebody came to lie against the pastor and they didn't verify? The pastor that laid hands on you for 5 years, the pastor whose messages you sat under for 5 years, the principles you have applied that has brought you to where you are, you learned it from him. Somebody now lied to you against the pastor. You didn't verify. You didn't pray for him. You now go to dishonor him. Everything you have received from him will rise up to judge you. I'm not saying justify people who are in error. If a pastor falls, pray for him. But I'm saying, don't, because of hearsay, make a man who was a blessing to you an enemy. You will be heaping coals of fire on your head. Honor is a must. It's a must because it's a virtue. It's a must because it's a law. And it's a must because it's a summation of our character. And we must honor God. We must honor our biological parents. We must honor leaders, government, civic leaders, and so on. We must honor ourselves, and above all, we must honor spiritual authorities. Brothers and sisters, in this house this morning, who do we honor better? Who is most qualified to be honored but for the shepherd that has labored over us in prayer, the one that has prophesied over us, the one that has given us the word of the Lord, the one that has made us a blessing?
You were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.